In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate all the saints who have shown forth throughout the history of the church. This is the feast day that commemorates everyone who's ever been saved, because everyone who's ever been saved is in heaven and is a saint. Those of us who are still on this earth are in the process of being saved, and so that's what we hope to achieve. We hope to be saints. And Christ tells us how in many places, but in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, he talks about, he used a particular analogy that has many important applications. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." When it talks about the Father being the husbandman, that's another way of saying he's the farmer or the vine dresser. He's the one that's taking care of the vine. And it says, every branch that bears no fruit, he takes away. In other words, he cuts it off. But every branch that bears fruit, he says, in the King James, he purgeth it. Because in the Greek, the word for purge or cleanse is also the same word for prune. And so there's a wordplay in this passage, but basically he prunes it. So even the branches that are bearing fruit, the Father takes things away from it that are not fruitful. There are many things that we have in our life that are not in and of themselves inherently sinful, but there are things that weigh us down. There are things that are a waste of our time. In the epistle that we read this morning, we heard the words, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." When it says, let us lay aside every weight, obviously that does mean sin, but it also means other things that are just not profitable. If you're running in a race, you don't want to be carrying around a lot of baggage because it gives you a disadvantage. You try to get as light as you possibly can. And you have athletes that will pay all kinds of money to get the best possible equipment that's the lightest weight because they want to have every advantage. Well, we as Christians, as we grow, as we become more fruitful disciples of Christ, there are things in our lives that God will show us, and we have to make the decision of whether we're going to let God take that away from us or whether we're going to allow those things to weigh us down. But if we want to continue to be fruitful, we have to allow God to prune our lives and take things from our lives that are not profitable, that are not conducive for what it is that we're really trying to accomplish in our life. Then he says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And when he says you are clean, again, it's a wordplay on the word prune. But he makes the important point that our reading the scriptures helps us to see what it is in our life that are those things that we need to have pruned from us. And that's why it's so crucial that we regularly, every day, read the scriptures at least a little bit. And it's not that hard to find the time. We find the time to brush our teeth. We find the time to take a shower, usually. We wouldn't say, well, I don't have time. Sorry, I didn't take a shower for the last several days. I've just been so busy. If we can find time for that, we can also find time to read the scriptures, because it doesn't take that long to read a chapter of the scriptures. And ideally, we would spend more time in it than that, but we can read at least a little bit every day. In the Epistle to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, St. Paul says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So by reading the scriptures, we see those things brought to light and magnified that are in our lives that we need to get rid of. There are things that we need to add to our lives, of course, but there are also things that we need to get rid of if we really want to be the disciples of Christ that we're called to be. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." We are branches of a big vine. If you know anything about grapevines, that they go all over the place, as the husbandman directs, but they all connect to one vine that goes into the soil. And Christ is that vine for us as Christians. We all derive our nourishment from him. And our strength and our power comes from Him. And we're not able to do anything at all without Him. But we can either be fruitful or we can be unfruitful. And that all depends on us. And it depends on whether we submit to the pruning of God to bear more fruit. And if we don't bear any fruit, then the end result is that we are cut off. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you're not bearing fruit, there's no point for you to be on the vine. You're just taking up space. And what Christ says is you'll be separated from the vine, and your ultimate end is to be burned. The prophet Ezekiel used a similar analogy in Ezekiel chapter 15. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch, which is among the trees of the forest. Is wood taken from it to make any object, or can men make a peg from it to hang any vessel on?" And the answer to that is no. If you know anything about vine wood, it makes good kindling wood, but that's about all that it's good for if it's not bearing fruit. Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and the middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Indeed, when it was whole, no object could be made from it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it and it is burned? Those are the alternatives that we have. We don't get to just hang along for the ride. There's no such thing as a second-class Christian that just sort of coasts along and is saved by the skin of his teeth. You're either going to be a saint or you're going to go to hell, one or the other. And that's the choice that we all have. And if we want to go to heaven, if we want to be with Christ for all eternity, we have to set before us the goal of becoming a saint, of living for Christ 100% and being fruitful, bearing fruit, our lives actually accomplishing something for the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean that it's the same kind of fruit for each and every person, because we all have different gifts that God has given us, but every one of us can do something. I told the story about St. Maria of Gatineau many times, but it just comes to mind so often when I think about people who might think that they can't do anything great for the kingdom of God. And here you had a woman who had a disease where everything was painful. She couldn't move. She was just curled up in a little ball. And to even, to touch her caused excruciating pain. And most people who had that kind of an illness went insane. And yet this woman became a woman of prayer and would console people who were depressed. And you had even bishops and other clergy of the church, as well as other laity, who would come to her for consolation. And here was a woman who, if anyone ever had an excuse as to why they couldn't really do anything, what would you expect someone like that to do? This woman became a great saint of the church and was a great consolation to so many people and changed so many lives. So there's not one of us that doesn't have some gift that God has given us, and that if we would fulfill that gift, we would be a great blessing to the church. And so what we need to do is we need to ask God to show us what it is. Ask God to show us what in our lives needs to be taken away, or that we need to get rid of, because it's getting in the way of our Christian life, and to make us into the people that He wants us to be. Christ said, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples."